the oral communications section of our agenda. This is an opportunity for members of the public to speak to us about items that are not on our agenda today. And I want to briefly introduce Mercedes Sheldon, who's here to provide translation services to anyone who may need them.
Hello, Mercedes. We love you,
Mercedes. Good evening, Mayor and City Council members. My name is Mercedes Sheldon, and I am an interpreter. I am here to help facilitate anyone who is in need of my services. I'm located in the interior of the room on the right-hand side. Thank you very much, and good evening. Buenas noches, alcalde. Mi nombre es Mercedes Sheldon. Soy intérprete. Estoy aquí para ayudar a facilitar a las personas que necesitan de mis servicios. Estoy localizada al interior del cuarto, al lado derecho. Muchas gracias y buenas noches.
Thank you. Okay, so we have a half hour now for people to speak to us about items that are not on our agenda. We will go until 5:35. So please come forward. When the light comes on, you'll have 2 minutes to speak. When the yellow light comes on, that means you have 30 seconds. You need to wrap up your thought. And when you get to the red, that means your time's up. So please, here's our first speaker.
Hi. Good evening, Mayor and Council members. I am Joy Hins, and I'm a 22-year resident of the county, a parent of a high schooler, and a homeowner. I also spoke to the county supervisors this morning. I traveled to Southern California last week for a memorial service for my family, and I stopped at Occupy Irvine. And it was just in time to see them actually creating a photo, which was a thank you to their city council. And there was a member of the council who was present there. What they were thanking them for was for fully sanctioning their occupation and supporting their rights to assemble, their camping 24 hours a day, and to express their First Amendment rights. And they did so by opening their nearby park restrooms 24 hours a day, by providing additional porta potties, by allowing access to electricity, generators, music, pop-ups, tents, all 24 hours a day. I've given the clerk there 5 photos of that day, and I ask you to please look at them and carefully consider that even a famously conservative town like Irvine recognizes an exception to the camping ban in favor of First Amendment rights and explicitly supports the basic needs of the occupiers to maintain a safe and sanitary site. In contrast, Santa Cruz City has proposed to remove access to public restrooms and even the camp itself. Is Santa Cruz really more regressive than Orange County? I suggest that the City Council work in partnership with the occupiers to maintain a safe and sanitary site by providing, not removing, basic services and allowing 24-hour camping occupation as so many other American towns, including Los Angeles, has done. Thank you.
City Council, I'm Mike Tomasi, a veteran. A veteran is the heart, the soul, and the very spine of the American people. And if it wasn't for us, there wouldn't be life, liberty, or the pursuit of happiness. Now I'm going to come at you as the King of the Trolls. I'm Mike Tomasi, King of the Trolls, of A Battery, 6th Battalion, 14th Artillery, a walk-and-talking miracle from Vietnam, the greatest forward observer in the history of the United States, and a real live hero. I hold my hand up for freedom. Within this freedom, the Constitution of the United States, all 27 of its amendments, and sir, if you don't stand up for your rights, you will fall never to get up again. I close my fist for compassion, understanding, and evaluating what's happening around me. I come to you with no bombs, no guns, no physical violence of any kind. I come to you with the truth and all the love I can throw at you. And you know, Veterans Day is about here in about 3 days. And I suggest everyone in this room says a few prayers for the people that have died. Because the 8th Battery, 6th Battalion, 14th Artillery, the men I left in Vietnam, they all died when I was in the flight out of there. So please, understand the people that died for this country and for you, Mr. Coonerty, and all of you. Because you know something? We loved you. And that's God's truth. Thank you.
Thank you. And thank you for your service.
Good evening. I'm Scott Graham, and I support the goals of Occupy Santa Cruz and all the Occupy movements. And I'm here tonight to actually address what those are. And what those goals are talking about the 1% of the population that controls over half of the assets of this country. And that basically government has been bought and sold by those 1%ers. And instead of coming tonight and talking about tents and talking about geodesic domes, what people should be talking about is the 1%ers. And the fact that even on this level of government, here in our city and in our county, the 1%ers control everything. This government body here is basically a rubber stamp for the 1%ers in this town. George Au, Barry Swinson, Charlie Canfield, Bill Brooks, all these developers. You guys just rubber stamp everything that they bring in front of you. It's time for you to represent the people. When somebody in the, when a neighborhood stands up and says, we don't want something, but the 1%ers do, you guys turn your back on the neighborhood and go with the 1%ers. So I would encourage everybody in this room that's here to speak about Occupy Santa Cruz to talk to you about representing them instead of the 1%ers. Thank you.
Good afternoon. I'm Reed Searle. I'm not going to talk about Occupy Santa Cruz. Sorry about that. Be short. Pacific Avenue affair. Not much sense talking about blame or establishing who's responsible for what really was a substantial waste of community time, staff money, a lot of community involvement in a very short time. This was super fast-tracked. It didn't need to happen, and in my view, it shouldn't have happened. But I think the only real lesson should be, hey, let's not let this happen again. If there are some lessons to be learned, let's learn them and let's do it next time. And what are the lessons? First of all, don't try to super fast track. There is an established procedure. There are commissions that are supposed to investigate things like this. It could have been done without almost none of the hassle that we went through in the last couple of weeks. That's the first thing. The second thing is that Pacific Avenue is a very important thing for all of Santa Cruz, and the council all knows that. And the present pattern was established over a long period of time. It lasted for 20 years. It was a result of a substantial community compromise. Don't try to get rid of it overnight. It's just not a good idea. And finally, a lot of the emails that we got dealt with alternatives to what the proposal of the Downtown Business Association was. So those alternatives include a one-way all the way, leaving it the way it is, two-way, which is one of the proposals, and creation of a mall. If there's going to be any further consideration of this entire issue, then I certainly think that all of those alternatives ought to be considered. Thank you.
John Golder. You can read my comments in the appendix of the DEIR about the parks. I've been trying to bring this to your attention for the better part of a year. The city's been collecting park fees for over 30 years that developers have paid in advance for developed parks, and yet the city has less developed park lands now than when they started. The city has not done any nexus studies that they claim they have done. The developers have paid somewhere between $10 and $15 million in park fees, and the city has received over $30 million in gifts and grants for other parks, and still less developed parkland than we had 30 years ago. City has false and misleading statements on their CEQA on the housing element in relation to recreational facilities, saying that the present facilities are adequate and that added population will not have any effect on it. Parks and Recreation does not maintain any meaningful inventory of facilities or their acreage or different types of parks land. The basic vocabulary of parks and general plan maps defining parks and their land uses is fuzzy, vague, circular, and confusing. The last park master plan in the city was 28 years ago, and that was the last comprehensive measure we ever had of the city's recreational needs in 3 decades. There's no permanent funding for the city's parks. many, many issues, and yet the Parks and Recreation Commission has canceled half their schedule and dropped half of the meetings of the ones that they do have. We're going to address this with litigation. I do have a solution, and it's too bad Ms. Robinson and Mr. Terrazas will not meet with me and Ms. Bryant and talk about that solution. I've talked to Mr. Lane about it. I hope to talk to you about it, Ryan. And there is a solution that involves private money and an ordinance the city will pass that will give active recreation facility credit to the developers.
Thank you,
Mr. Holder. Won't cost you a dime. Okay? So I'd like to move forward on that.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Next speaker.
The Occupy movement was born in New York City with people fed up with a system that doesn't work, doesn't represent us, and the Democratic mayor of New York, Bloomberg, billionaire, sent out his cops against that movement. And as a result, more people came out. Union people came out in New York City. There was a mass response and a nationwide and worldwide movement was born. In Oakland, the police came on October 25th and tried to shut down Occupy Oakland using massive police violence, concussion grenades, various projectiles shot from guns. They injured an Iraq vet to the point where he can't speak anymore, the brain damage. And that sparked a general strike on November 2nd. Over 50,000, probably 100,000 people demonstrated. The Port of Oakland was shut down in solidarity. The SEIU, various other unions came out in support. And mass action came in response to the repression. Now you've sent an ultimatum to Occupy Santa Cruz. You call it a permit, but basically it's an eviction notice for November 16th at noon. And I want to call on people to come out, union people,
thank you, sir,
people from the community, to respond to whatever repression you may, the city council may have in store for Occupy Santa Cruz on November 16th. People come out.
Thank you. Next speaker.
Bob LaMonica. What would a revolution look like in 2011? It wouldn't be a black tie and gown affair at the Coconut Grove. It would be what we have. Thank you. It would be what we have in the streets of the United States of America. It would be the Occupy movement. I never thought I would live to see the ability to say redistribution of wealth without being called some kind of a derogatory term. This movement has already accomplished something very significant. In my opinion, this city council, your decision on what you do with Occupy Santa Cruz is going to be probably the single most important political decision you make in your careers. You should get behind it. You should support it. If your permit has any significance at all, and I'm not sure it does, it should be granted indefinitely. Get behind this. What do you expect these people to do, those 24/7 occupiers? It's going to be the people that are poor, the people that are unemployed. Allow it to happen. Nothing like this has ever happened in history, as far as I could see, certainly not in the United States. So we have a very unusual situation that's made a dent already. If they survive, and I believe they will survive to the 2012 election. It's going to have dramatic impact on the discussions that we're going to have politically. And in my opinion, redistribution of wealth is going to be the key issue. And I'm a great fan of Steve Jobs, but his children ought to be able to get by on $3.5 rather than $7. Thank you very much.
Hi, my name is Mike Posner. I'm the director of People Power.
and I'm here to talk about something that's not on the agenda anymore, which is Pacific Avenue. I very much agree with Reed. A box was open, and a lot of us spent a lot of time thinking about it carefully and talking to the community about what we would want for Pacific Avenue. And, that was the process. Obviously, didn't work out for all of us, including you. I'm not blaming anyone in particular. But I do want to, because we did all this work, I want to give you the petition. So, in like 6 days, we gathered 130 signatures at least and had a ton of support. You got a lot of emails for the concept of closing Pacific or opening Pacific to walkers and making it a pedestrian mall at least once a week, at least one segment. And I think that doing so will give us a chance to make sure that it would be a commercial success. I think there's every possibility that that little section could be great for those businesses, and then see how it goes and possibly expand it from there. When I was, talking to people on the street and all that, it reminded me that, when Vision Santa Cruz happened, it was a predominant idea. And I think one of the main reasons, one of the things that you have control of, why it hasn't happened when I talked to the people that did Santa Cruz Night Out, is that at the moment, the process for closing a section of Pacific and doing an event is prohibitive. The city charges people for the, quote, lost parking, unquote. It's a lot of fees, like $600. And that's really against the tenor of Vision Santa Cruz, the idea that the city would close the street for events. And I'm talking about events that are, pro-business, that are with the business community, that are good for everyone. But activists like myself aren't going to do that if you charge them $600 every time or $500 every time. And so what I've learned from this process is I'm going to ask you to look back at this and to make it easier to close parts of Pacific Avenue for the public, for public events. So if we can all work towards that, hopefully by next summer. And here's the petitions.
Ladies and gentlemen of the council, I was greatly disheartened by the city's response to the Occupy Santa Cruz movement. I feel the city of Santa Cruz is trying to put restrictions on the First Amendment. The permit that was issued sends the message, it's fine if you people want to express yourselves, I just don't want to see it. And that is not freedom. There is no language in the Constitution that indicates our rights end after sunset. San Lorenzo Park is for public use, and it is being used by the public. You don't get to pick and choose who the members of the public are. Occupy Santa Cruz is not making the space unavailable to other members of the public. In fact, quite the opposite. Occupy Santa Cruz invites all people to join the protest and the movement. Even those of you sitting before me are invited to come see for yourself the conditions at the site. Whatever you choose to do, I cannot stand idly by and let you trample on the First Amendment. I feel you are counting on the fact that we have too much to lose to oppose you. But when you take away our homes, our jobs, and our freedom, you create a class of people who have nothing left to lose.
Yeah.
I'm an American. I am an American, and you do not have the right to tell me where I can sit, stand, or lie down in my own country.
Hello, my name is Steve Fleming. I'm a 35-year resident of Santa Cruz County. I'm also a veteran. I've been watching the affairs of this county quite closely for a long time. I'm here to speak not only on behalf of Occupy Santa Cruz, but on behalf of the homeless population and the poor of this county. I think sleeping laws are draconian and inhumane. You need to repeal them immediately. People who lose their homes need a place to go, and sometimes the Red Cross or the shelter is not available. The police need to stop harassing the homeless. There's nothing wrong with them. They're just trying to get by. I think you'd spend a lot more useful time using the money to correct the problems in the town that have to do with people instead of money. People in the town need your help. Okay, your decisions in regards to Occupy Santa Cruz will let you in the future. We're going to hold you accountable. We think that you can do something. I'm begging you to do something. Thank you.
Yeah,
I, of course, second what Steve just said. I mean, there's room for about 5 to 10% of the homeless population at night, and you have a law that criminalizes people after 11 o'clock at night. The only place that's not being enforced, apparently, is the place that you are trying to convict the Occupy Santa Cruz campground at San Lorenzo Park. It's a form of repression and fear, and I believe there's been a crackdown on Pacific Avenue at the same time as what I'm hearing. I notice in the back of the room we have at least 4 police officers. Normally you have 1 sergeant at arms. Are you expecting a riot here? I mean, what is this about? The 1%ers in Santa Cruz are a matter of real concern, and I hope that the Occupy Santa Cruz folks do turn their focus on them, as Scott Graham suggested. It's clear the Downtown Association can get you to fast-track apparently whatever it wants, regardless of how absurd and unprepared they are to do that, as it was shown by this two-way Pacific Avenue fiasco that you unanimously allowed through the City Council, I guess with some dissenting debate, but not with any meaningful attempt to hold to the original process. So we have the hypocrisy of Santa Cruz liberal politicians essentially criminalizing the poor and now criminalizing public dissent, perhaps a matter that amuses Councilmember Lane, who will soon be our mayor, I believe, coming up, so he can perhaps deal with that issue as it comes forward. We have a situation where there is a series of misdemeanor citations admittedly given out by deputies, but in no way being objected to by this council, and members of the Santa Cruz Police Department have done the same. They've given out misdemeanor citations for falling asleep during the day in different places under 647E. Not frequently, but you haven't repudiated that. Yesterday I went to City Council to the offices of Don Lane and Martine Bernal, and they refused to open the bathrooms in the park at night, yet they're complaining about poo-poo and pee-pee. This is a pretext to harass and disperse a legitimate public assembly, which I hope the community supports. And thank you for your support in the community, by the way, community members.
My name is Valerie Lashak. I'm here in support of the occupation here. And I would like to say that this country is in difficulty. And there is a lack of funds for important projects that have been funded in the past. And you have accepted that loss of money and have cut your programs accordingly and have followed all these procedures according to what you need to do. But there are people who are saying, no, why don't we just stop and try to change that? Why don't we keep our quality of life? Why don't we stand up for what we feel is right? Compassion, care, understanding, food, homes, things that have been important and supported in the past. So I'm saying to you, you may not have a voice to reverse what's happening. You have to follow the monies that you've received. But there are people who are trying to open the loss that has been created by this debacle. And I think you should give them places to public outhouses. Give them a way to show that their compliance with and care can occur. It's much cheaper than 6 police and fining and so forth and so on. And encourage in a sort of quiet way, just by allowing them to speak and raise their voices along with everybody else in the country to perhaps turn this difficulty, which I feel is a loss of social compassion, around. Thank you.
Hello, I'm Cynthia Mayorino, student senator at Cabrillo College. And I'm working with there's about 50 other senators statewide that are working together to create occupies on campuses statewide. We had about 50% of a success. We actually tried to put this into the legislation to create law that we're allowed to do this on campus. 50% of us said, 49% of us said yes. We were outbeat by 3 votes, which is showing that the students here in all the states of California are in support of this. So I'm asking you, obviously, to be in support of the Occupy movement, to allow us to assemble, allow us to observe our First Amendment right, And the fact that we are all scrambling, we are all busy, we all have jobs, we all have school, we all have homes and families, the only time we have to get together to make this happen is to have a place where we can come, and we know we can be there in the morning, we can be there at night to actually get this done. It's critical that we do this. As you all know, on August 3rd, our system, our entire financial system almost collapsed. If we did not cave into what the Republicans wanted, we would have had a complete cut to all of our social services. Food stamps would have been gone, meds for mentally disabled, mentally ill people. What would Santa Cruz look like if our elderly couldn't have their Medicare, if our children couldn't have their food stamps, if our citizens could not have these social services that we have? We're close to that. This would be absolute chaos. This movement is detrimental to the fabric of our country. And if you don't realize that there are nonstop honkings going by Occupy Santa Cruz, that does not, that those are the people that can't get out there. But it's nonstop. Everybody is honking. Everybody is in support of this. So we really need you all to step up and be in support of this, or at least stand down and don't not allow us to do this. Another thing I have here. Thank you. So the truth is, there are military people that are also involved. The vets on our campus are totally in support of this. Vets are coming out to the Occupy in Oakland.
Thank you. So now we have 5 more minutes left. So,
end of time.
My name is Gene Michelin. I'm from Scotts Valley. I thank the City Council for allowing me to speak tonight. I have a comment and a question. I'm an old hippie from the peace movement of the 60s. I was one of the leaders of NPAC, the National Peace Action Coalition. At that time, we had anarchists trying to thrash our peace movement, and we wouldn't tolerate it. And my comment is a statement to the Occupy people, who I am in support of, to not let any rowdy people, any anarchists, sabotage your movement with violence. Work with the police, identify who they are. Many of them are out-of-towners. Many of them are from Southern California. Don't allow them to thrash your movement. The question that I have is the tents that the occupiers are on. Who does that property belong to? The government, the taxpayers, is that correct? Okay, I'm a taxpayer. How many taxpayers are in this group? How many taxpayers support the tents being there? Okay, that's my point. If we put this to a petition in Santa Cruz County, there would be overwhelming support for the tents being there. And while it might violate some ordinance, that's a law that can be changed or amended, just like the Constitution. That is my point. Thank you very much for having me here.
Next speaker. You have 2 minutes.
So there was 5 minutes left. Can you use 2 minutes? Can I use 3, please?
No, everyone's going to get the same amount of time.
Okay.
Can you hear me now? I think I have a solution to the homeless problem. We need a secure campsite. The corner of River Street and Highway 1 is a good example. The easement there belongs to the state. You can build a chain link fence, put security, bathrooms, and have the whole thing move and hold 100 campsites. That isn't what I came here to talk about. I was here 10 years ago, and we had an ugly sign on that corner, and it really needs painting. And I'm not going to use my 2 minutes. I'm just going to finish with price. I think everybody's really uptight here, and I just want to thank the City Council for what they're doing and, you know, in dealing with this situation, because I wouldn't want to be in your shoes. So listen, I'll be out of here in 10 seconds. Occupy the city. Occupy the state. Occupy the nation before it's too late. Thank you.
Next speaker, please.
with some of that. Let me see. I'm here to lament. First off, I'm here to lament the failure of Jerry Brown to sign. I think it's SB 910, the bicyclist safety, the law that required that motorists be more respectful. Immediately prior to him not signing it, I guess a bicyclist here in town like rode on a sidewalk and you know ran into a couple of pregnant women. That's deplorable. And then on Soquel Bridge, and bridges are really key to the sorting out the psychology of this Occupy movement. I think it all started on a bridge there off of Manhattan. There's basically a terrible accident where somebody needed to be probably, I don't know, airlifted or taken in an ambulance just after Jerry Brown failed to sign that. And I feel like if he had signed it, maybe that person would have been injured. Another kind of grievance I have, I think, is that it's really hard for a conservative member of the community to become a member of this body. You would have to ask all of the people voting for you to vote for you and you alone. As a former election official, having worked as a poll worker, I understand how the city council is elected, and basically this county is basically a turnkey, straight ticket, liberal political machine. And if you don't like the way Mayor Bloomberg handled the Occupy situation in New York, maybe you should look towards having a little bit more respect from, say, the police, because there's a conservative member on the council and more balance, more political balance. I was recently arrested on the Saturday night prior to Halloween, and it cost the city and the state $9,000.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Can I hold on just a second? Can I ask how many people still wish to speak tonight? So 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. So I'm going to extend the time, but we're going to go with a minute each for the remaining speakers. Please come forward.
The discussion yesterday at the city manager's office and with Don Lane had to do with the First Amendment. I wanted to speak to the Fourth Amendment, which has to do with the permit as well, and the photographs of human, at least alleged, human feces that were given to the entire General Assembly, including grandmothers, great-grandmothers, children, everyone. Since somebody was invading the privacy of the campers with a camera to take pictures of feces, I suspect there must be other photos showing the feces coming from the rectums. And we'd like to see those photos, since you've already violated our values, our principles, and everything else.
Sir?
Thank you, sir.
Your time's up.
Good evening. I'm Brian McBrien. And I went to the meeting yesterday at the city manager's office. Direct question was asked, do you have the authority to open or close the bathrooms in the public park? I don't know. I'm not sure. Do you have authority over the police? I don't know. I'm not sure. As a former teacher of management at San Jose City College, I would be putting before my students... Okay, they're complaining about lack of sanitation. So what do they do? Close the bathrooms.
Right.
Who in their right mind sitting here think that's going to help? God's sake.
Okay, in the interest of transparent democratic process, in keeping with the principles of Occupy Santa Cruz, we seek to clarify misinformation and misrepresentations being made by the city manager and the press. First, Occupy Santa Cruz is not a non-commercial event, as the city manager states. Rather, this is a long-term, independent, anti-establishment, social movement that isn't going home. And is determined to challenge fundamental underlying institutions of elite class rule that benefit the 1% and oppress the 99%. Occupy Santa Cruz, in solidarity with Occupy Wall Street, is saying that we believe the system itself is radically corrupted and we are no longer going to tolerate it.
Yay!
My name is Celia Scott. I'm a long-term resident of this city, former mayor, and I'd like to plead with the council to find a non-violent solution, to find a way to accommodate the legitimate concerns of the people in Occupy Santa Cruz, which is just not Occupy Santa Cruz. It's Occupy Wall Street. It's Occupy hundreds of cities around this country. They are legitimate concerns about what is happening to our country. And people are waking up. I ask you to maintain an open dialogue with the people who have put themselves out there to work toward a peaceful solution. We do not want an Oakland situation here. We do not want people beaten. We want to find a way to work together. And I ask the council to consider one thing. Perhaps you might look at where you are investing our city funds. Bank of America? I don't know. But how about making an open process so that we can feel that we are working together with you? So please find a peaceful way to go forward. People who live in their houses care. People who don't live in their houses care. We need to find a solution. You don't have an evening session. I know. You don't have an evening
I don't understand how you don't extend it.
Thank you.
Good evening, I'm Sherry Connable. I've spent many, many hours in this room, and I haven't been here since Catherine and Don were reelected to the council, but Occupy Santa Cruz brought me here tonight. I want to ask you, number one, to dig deeper than the health and safety card. All of us who have participated in public process know that that card's very easy to play. This is a nationwide, a very thoughtful, a very deep, a very provocative, a very essential awakening that's happening in this country. I believe if you really were able to talk to the vast majority of people in the city of Santa Cruz, there is widespread support for this. I would ask you, as our representatives, in our name, expressing the will of the people of this city, which is what you're here for, continue to support this movement. I'd ask the people in the room who are here to ask you to support this movement and work with it. Please to stand.
Thank you, ma'am.
Thank you. That concludes oral communications. The council will now adjourn to the next regular schedule.
I want to take
this. Sure.
I think it's really important. I think it's really important for folks to know that oral communications normally is a time when we just listen. And so I know it's sometimes frustrating when you come up and, you know, make suggestions and questions and demands and don't get it.
Hold on. Listen, we're not going to have anybody shout out. Robert, you've been warned. The next time you speak out, I'm going to have you removed from the chamber. We listen to you. I think we expect you to listen to us. Okay.
So, as I was saying, it is frustrating in this context then, because we as some of you who follow the council know, we can't take action on items, suggestions that come up during oral communications.
Okay, please.
All right, so that's... ask the police to try to figure out who it was that yelled out. They're warned if you can figure out who they are, and then please, I'm going to ask you again, if we're going to have a civil dialogue that so many of you asked for, this is one of the ways that we do it.
So, as I was saying, that we don't always have a chance to act on the requests that people make during oral communications, but it is, I just want to take this opportunity, because I know so many people are concerned about this, to just say a few personal reactions. One is,
I think there is widespread support on the city council for the principles of Occupy Wall Street and Occupy Santa Cruz and the overall political goals as much as we can understand them. But, and I know this is the part that gets difficult, is that we do have a city park that is genuinely being damaged. And
wires!
Oh, please.
All right.
Once I listened during the entire time without interrupting anyone, and it would really be appreciated if I could just complete my comments without any outbursts. One of the things, for instance, that I've noticed when I've gone by Occupy Santa Cruz is that there's a porta potty parked right on Ocean Street, and for some unknown reason, two different times that I've gone there, it's been locked. So I don't know what that's about, but I think it represents a problem that we're all having, which is that we haven't figured out a way to manage the physical site there in a way that protects the park, which is something really important to the community. And so I would like to urge folks to work with the city, whether it's by the permit itself or not, to recognize that there are conditions about how people are behaving and how people are treating the park that are a legitimate concern of the community, and that we would address those in a constructive way and not just see this as a battle over whether there's a permit or not. The permit is a device that the city has to make its requests to the people in the park about how to use the park in an appropriate way. And so we really should talk about that in a serious way, whether we get caught up in the permit or not. I also want to mention one other challenge, which is more than 2 weeks ago, I was invited to come down to the steps of the courthouse to meet with a committee of Occupy Santa Cruz that was to deal with external communications so that I might facilitate some positive communication between the city and Occupy Santa Cruz group. I came to that meeting. We had a good discussion. I gave folks my phone number. I said I'd like to, you know, see if we could create a permanent set of contacts. I also got the phone number of the person who convened the group. He said he would discuss with others who would be there, the Occupy point of contact, and then we would proceed from there. He never called me back. And then when I called him just to check what's going on and left a message, he still did not call me back. So I'm not saying this, that's not to blame anyone, but I want you to recognize that the city has a real challenge in how we can have a positive communication with the Occupy group, because there's not, you've decided to be an unstructured consensus-based group, but that means there aren't leaders and there aren't representatives. And that presents a real challenge for us. We need to know who we can talk to who actually represents the group. And that has not been facilitated up to now. So these are just challenges. I'm not pointing the finger at anyone. I'm just saying this is why things haven't evolved as smoothly as we would like. So I came down to the General Assembly last night. I've been to a couple of other ones earlier on. I will continue to try and meet with people. It would be very helpful for me, you know how to reach me, if you would indicate who is authorized, even if it's just in a temporary way, to speak with us. I think there are other council members who would be willing to do that as well. So we do want to work this out. It really isn't. I know you all couch it as a free speech issue. To me, the city has no interest in interrupting anybody's free speech. We do want to protect the park, and it's not being protected at the status quo. Thank you.
And then I'll briefly add, Celia Scott, the former mayor, made a good point about the city's investment of funds. The city was on the cutting edge 3 years ago when we put our reserve funds in local banks and credit unions. And we've tried to expand that over the years, and now we're trying to revisit our banking contract for the actual day-to-day banking, in part because we do share the exact same concerns that you do, and we're trying to address those issues. Finally, let me say, that it is, you're exactly right, this is public space. Public space needs to be shared by the public as a whole. So we have competing interests on that space. As in the time that you've been there, we've had WAM, and they've needed to use the public space. We have youth sports teams. They have equal access to that public space. We have the courts and the county workers who need to come out and use and can use that as their, on their breaks. We have families who use San Lorenzo Park. We have a senior citizens home right adjacent to the park. They also use the park. So when we issue permits, it's not to dampen free speech, it's to make sure that we have full access. So the Santa Cruz High leadership class needs to get a permit in order to have their homecoming parade. The gay and lesbian community for Pride Day gets a permit and meets a series of conditions. We hope that these conditions, our hope when we put these forward, these conditions could be met so that we can balance some of the interests that Vice Mayor Lane was talking about, so we could have full access for everybody to these public spaces. Is there any other council member who'd like to speak? Okay, so we'll now adjourn the council meeting to our next regularly scheduled meeting of November 22nd. Oh, sorry, we have a special council meeting on November 15th and a regular scheduled meeting on November 22nd for a closed litigation session at the hour of 1:30 p.m. in the Courtyard Conference Room, followed by open sessions at the approximate hours of 3, 5, and 7 p.m. in council chambers. Oh, we need a report on closed session.
Thank you, Mayor Coonerty. The items that the council discussed in closed session this afternoon are those listed on pages 2 and 3 of the council's posted agenda. The council heard from Assistant City Attorney George Kovacevic with regard to the Fowler versus City of Santa Cruz lawsuit pending in the United States District Court in San Jose.
That was interesting.
Assistant City Attorney Kovacevic gave the council status report on that matter.
Yeah, who he is.
Is
he the same guy who did the last thing?
That matter. Yeah. The council
was this the first time
to,
he did that since that whole...
Performance evaluation of the city manager, but due to
he's the one who filed it.